You are listening to the Fantasy Joes Podcast, your weekly dose of fun and unique fantasy football talk with a focus on Dynasty. And now, here are the Joes, Will Greenwood, Ryan Livergood, and Jake Patterson.
All right, I guess we're ready to go. Do we clap?
It's already recording.
I know. I'm just kidding. Hey, guess what? We're the Fantasy Joes. Remember us? I'm at Riddle. No, I'm not even at Riddle Librarian anymore. I'm Ryan Livergood. I'm not even on that platform, which is guess known as X. It doesn't really matter. Will, what's going on?
At Fantasy Joe _ Will. I think my app still works. I don't know. I check it just as much as I used to. So we're in the same boat.
Jake, are you?
I'm at Wilbo Redwood on Rocket League. 1L in Wilbo is what Jake and I were talking about. That's the most important thing of that conversation earlier.
And Jake, what about you? Are you on Twitter/X, whatever the heck it's called now?
I'm scrolling, but I'm not really posting that much. But we're off to a hot start, on for our annual pod now instead of weekly. So,
well, we'll see. Back. Maybe every quarter. I don't know. It's been a while. But welcome back, everybody. Good to be with you. People have been asking. I say people. A handful of people have said, "Are you guys going to record a podcast?" So, for all our, 7-8 fans out there, we're back at least for tonight and to talk about the 2023 season. So, Jake, you put together a good show sheet of us for different topics to discuss. I feel rusty. I'm out of practice. I'm not even sure where to go from here. But any thoughts to start off? We are about to embark upon an interesting 2023 season. There's a lot of drama, a lot of intrigue. I don't know where it starts. So Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets, to some younger players in the league, whether they're going to make it or not. Is Justin Fields going to become a thing? You know, I went right to the Bears there with the second point. It's going to be an interesting year, I think. So any thoughts before we kick off and go down our list, or do you guys want to get into it?
We should definitely discuss all the offseason news that we haven't yet discussed.
Cover all the offseason news. Okay, here we go. Where to begin? I don't think we've even had a conversation since the draft, have we? Did we even do a show?
No, before? It's been quite some time, for
it's
sure.
It's been quite some time. Okay, well, you've had your rookie drafts. So we can skip all that. We can talk about the rookies in the context of 2023, I suppose. But
wait, you guys don't have leagues that do rookie drafts today or tomorrow before kickoff on Thursday?
Well, you joke, but Will, you had a league, I know, that drafted on Monday night.
Yeah, auction draft on ESPN. That's the last one.
Yeah.
That it's just redraft though, so it's a little bit simpler.
Yeah. I had a league that drafted on Monday and then auction draft last night. So yeah, I mean, it's still last minute, but it's going. But why don't we get to the show sheet? Because we have a lot to go through. So we're gonna go through and give some predictions essentially, and there's a lot. We've got fantasy predictions, we've got bust, my guys, truthers, a lot of stuff to cover. So let's start at the top, and Jake, we'll go in the order you put this list together. Thank you for doing this. Comeback player of the year. And you said no DeMar Hamlin, Jake, which doesn't seem fair, but probably.
You said that. I did not read that.
Oh.
It's just like we all know.
I just couldn't believe nobody. I couldn't believe nobody took him.
And so that's why you looks like you took him then.
No, I didn't. I switched it up.
Oh, okay. All right. So Jake, who's your comeback player of the year?
So like Ryan said, I said no DeMar Hamlin because the second he plays it down in football, it's most likely the DeMar Hamlin's taken home comeback player of the year award, and that's pretty well deserved. The top five on the books right now who's not DeMar Hamlin would be Mechie, Tua, Russell Wilson, Lamar, and Sam Darnold. Not that you're limited to those picks, but I decided to go with Tua. He had a rough year last year with concussions, rough injury history. And if he's healthy for this season, I think there's a good chance that he bounces back. He had quite the hot start to the season last year. Hill and Waddle, there's not really much to deliberate there, right? So I think the Dolphins are going to be pretty good. I think that's more likely than anyone on Houston being too relevant. I think the John Mechie story would be is a good one coming back
you
from cancer.
You can't talk into my guy.
I'm just going to lead Tua here.
Yeah, Jake, I like your Tua pick, and that's certainly solid. I went with Lamar Jackson. As much as he scares me, he scares the hell out of me in Dynasty, guys. And I'm curious what you think of his Dynasty value, or if you're just all in and wheels up, he's going to smash. But I do think he has the chance to have a really special year in 2023. I could be way off on it, but I think with this new offense, it's going to unleash the weapons he has around him, right? I think Zay Flowers is intriguing. Odell Beckham, of course, Mark Andrews is still there. I think it's going to be an exciting offense, and I just think the sky's the limit for Lamar Jackson this year. But we'll see. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how he plays now that he's been paid, has that big contract. We will see. Will, what do you think of Lamar Jackson in Dynasty? Yeah, you've been a big fan of Lamar.
Yeah, and I have him, and I've been trying to like move him, but it's got to be for the right package and the right fit with those teams. His knee does scare me just because of the way he wasn't able to move on it last year when he was out injured. Like they were talking about, he just wasn't able to move laterally on that knee, and I don't know how well that repairs. And I didn't do enough research to really have a strong opinion on it, but I do think it's scarier than what people are just like thinking, you know, like kind of brushing it off as. But I also think Lamar could easily be the MVP this year with the new offensive coordinator, with the way that they've surrounded him with weapons this year and the way that that's set up. I really like him he played the comeback player of the year. I didn't look up the people who have won this one in the past compared to some of the other ones. Like how often does it go to somebody who's just missed four games? It was four, right? Last year, four or five. I'm still a big fan, and I'm trying to move, but only for a king's ransom. There's no point in my mind to sell. You're not selling low at this point with all the hype around him and the value that he has right now in the dynasty world. So it's I want to see him maybe have a couple boom games at the beginning of the year, and then we'll see where that trickles, you know, where that goes.
I actually I acquired him once this offseason so far, and it was essentially for Tua, a first and a second. So I think that's pretty fair value for him right now. I would probably pay a bit more, but which is what the ceiling outcome.
I like that. I think that's a nice value on acquiring him, honestly, especially with Tua and the uncertainty with him, you know, because, you know, there's, I don't know. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see if he can get through the year. And Tua, I think has maybe one of the largest range of outcomes of any player, right? I mean, he could totally get hurt and just sink your season, or he could just have a huge year and be a fantasy MVP. So, Will, who do you have on the list? We know it's going to be Hamlin, but who's your pick for this exercise?
No, Jake, of course, ruined it, all the surprise and all the fun, as per the usual. It's a classic Canadian move. I'm going with John Metchie. I think if John Metchie can hit 600 yards receiving, I think he's going to be the comeback player of the year. Foster Moreau is up there also for a candidate. Very, you know, kind of similar stories in that. That's just such, you know, like a Hollywood story and just a great comeback story as well. Like a really, like, you know, heartwarming, great narrative that these guys could do and come back. And I think they do that. You know, it sounds more like of a betting odds type of thing versus like an emotional type of thing, because it should be more emotional than what I'm saying, but they fit the narrative best that I think will win comeback player of the year is coming back and doing that. So my pick will be John Metchie. Of course, outside of DeMar Hamlin, which I feel like there's really no point outside of him. So this is like, who's going to finish second.
Yeah. I think Calvin Ridley is also a popular guy there, but I don't think he's probably going to get much of a chance because of being suspended for betting and not just going out with depression. It's not the story that I don't think the NFL is looking for. So.
Yeah, 100% agree. I think he would be such a great candidate, but he's still going to like pay the penalty for that in offseason awards or postseason awards.
So
quickly on Calvin Ridley, how do you guys think he's going to do?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you asked, Will, because I have him, a little foreshadowing. I have him as a potential bust. Not that I think he's going to be awful this year, but where he's being drafted in redraft leagues, I mean, he's like high-end wide receiver too, at least the drafts I've done. And I think he's going to have a good year. I just think that's maybe his ceiling. And I think he's more of a, you know, wide receiver three. I think that Lawrence will spread the ball around. So I'm a little worried. I think that people are maybe over their skis a little bit on Ridley, but that's, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, all the reports have been positive. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Jake, what do you think?
I think I'm in the same boat as you. I was never that big on Calvin Ridley pretty much his entire career. Obviously he had that huge breakout year before he went out with his personal reasons. And the guy's, he's extremely talented. Like, he proved me wrong is what I thought of him as a prospect. And he's probably with the best quarterback he's ever been with in Trevor Lawrence. Question is 2 years or a year and a half away from football, is he going to be okay? Or, like, obviously he wasn't injured, so that's a big plus there. But I think the history of guys who missed that much time and come back doesn't fare too well for him. And I think Christian Kirk is really talented as well. You got Zay Jones, who broke out last year, and of course Evan Engram. So I think Trevor Lawrence is good enough to get the ball to everyone. But like you said, for people getting their head over their skis, his ADP and redraft is kind of crazy. And like, I had one share of him, and I wish I had more considering the price when he was out of the league. But I had one share of him in the trade I made this offseason. Prior to that Trey Lance trade, I traded a Trey Lance and Calvin Ridley for Kyle Pitts in a two PPR tight end league, and I'm so happy about that now.
Yeah, that's looking good. Will, what about you with Ridley?
I don't think it's going to be, you know, like that top wide receiver stuff we saw with him when he was in Atlanta at his peak, paired up with Julio Jones. It's funny, my take on Ridley is I think it just has depressed Christian Kirk's value so far that I've been scooping up a lot of him. The rapport with Kirk and Lawrence last year, I think, is only going to continue to grow. And Christian Kirk's still a pretty darn good player.
Yeah, and like you said, we've seen it before with him, with Lawrence. So, all right. Easier to predict.
Coach of the year. Will, how about you go first here? Could it be Doug Peterson? We're talking about the Jaguars. Could that be your coach of the year? He's got a shot.
It was a really, really hard choice not to choose Doug Peterson, because I'm kind of in love with that Jaguars team for fantasy this year, like overall, and what many points they're going to put up. I think they're going to be a really competitive team and make some teams really sweat it out in the playoffs. But I went Arthur Smith with the Falcons. So, I think they're going to surprise people with just how big of a jump they make this year. They're in a relatively weak division. I think they can win that division, have 11 wins, and with the QB combo of Ridder and Heinicke, winning that division and going to the playoffs with 11 wins is a huge like accomplishment overall. This also goes along with some other takes later on. But so my pick is going to be Arthur Smith of the Falcons. The additions they had in the offseason, we'll talk about that later too. But I
like it. And I share your enthusiasm for the Falcons in the NFC South. Jake, what do you think? What's your pick?
First, I think Arthur Smith is a pretty terrible coach in the league. It might just be more fantasy related than anything, but he's definitely overrated. Do I think it's a bad pick for coach of the year? Absolutely not, because bad coaches get coach of the year all the time. Shout out Matt Nagy. My pick is going to be Mike Tomlin. Obviously a bit of a homer pick here. Like Will was foreshadowing Atlanta to win the division, I'm going to pick Pittsburgh to win the division. And if they do, like, that's going to be the toughest division in football. And like Kenny Pickett's the worst quarterback in the division. If Tomlin finds a way to do it, I think he wins the award. Like, he's always a top five coach in the league. He's well respected by everyone, never had a losing season. And that's with a bad team. So I think this Pittsburgh team, when I get into the division talk, I'll kind of talk my shit about my favorite team. But I think if this might be one of the better teams he's had in quite some time, and I think he's going to show. I think he's just going to earn the award. You know, I think he deserves it at this point, because it might surprise you, Mike Tomlin has never won a coach of the year before. So
that does surprise me, because he it should always be in contention every year. He is a damn good football coach. I mean, you're right. He overperforms with some teams that he has, some of the rosters that he's had. So I love the choice, and they're an interesting team. I think that the AFC North is very intriguing, and we'll talk about it more in a little bit. And I also think the NFC North is intriguing, and that's why I kind of cheated here, because my answer, guys, is whichever NFC North head coach leads his team to winning the division. And my thinking is just that I think it's wide open, and I think there is a path for all these coaches in the NFC North to move their teams forward and make a statement. I mean, I think if either Chicago or Green Bay win the division, and I think it's possible, more possible for Green Bay, honestly, with their roster than Chicago. I think LaFleur or Eberflus would both be great candidates if they won the North. And then I think Detroit, Minnesota. I think obviously Detroit is the hot team. Everyone's kind of picking them to win. And I think Minnesota, guys, has been really underrated this year. I think Kevin O'Connell with the second year of that offense, I think their defense has gotten will can only be better. I think it's going to be tough. I think I'm not saying the Bears are going to come on top. I think the Bears will be fourth in the division, but I think the Bears will be competitive in most games. I think that's going to be a tough division. So I think any coach that wins the NFC North is a strong candidate to win this award.
It's really cheating, but yeah, I mean, I think that's fine. You pick out of the four, looking at the odds just on Bookmaker, which is what all the ones I'll talk about today that I put in here. It's Motor City Dan Campbell is the top one, followed by Eberflus, then Matt LaFleur, and then KOC is significantly further behind. The other ones are around 1,200, and KOC is at 4,400 to win Coach of the Year. If the Vikings do win it and take it, I don't know if they're going to be as good of a story as some of the other divisions, how competitive they are. I don't know. I do like the call as far as one of those coaches winning it, but I don't like the call of the group of four.
All right, fine. That's fair.
The milk take. It's a milk take.
Okay. Well, we're not ranking these takes. Let's move on. All right.
I think the team with the best record will have the coach of the year.
There you go. The bold take. Offensive rookie of the year. So Jake, why don't you lead us off here?
I don't think it's too crazy to say. You got three quarterbacks who were drafted all pretty early in the league, in the draft. Few solid wide receivers that have got tons of hype in this offseason, but I think the obvious pick has got to be Bijan Robinson. The 101 in every rookie draft. You might be an A-Rich fan, but I got to go Bijan just because I think it's more of a guarantee. I think he's going to quickly show that he's the best running back in the league. And even though he's a rookie, I don't think it's really going to matter. So, yeah, I'm not going to deliberate too much. It's got to be Bijan for me.
Yeah, I also, I was trying to be cute and creative, but if I said anything other than Bijan, I would just be, it would be very disingenuous. Although I did write down maybe Jordan Addison is a dark horse contender, because I really think that Minnesota offense is going to explode, and I think it will support a lot of weapons. But honestly, that's just to throw out another name other than Bijan. So, Will, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, Bijan is obviously the heavy betting favorite too. I'm just going to go with Anthony Richardson. Let's have some fun here.
Okay, let's have some fun. So Anthony Richardson, what do you guys expect from him in 2023? Because, I've heard people say, oh, he's guaranteed to rush for 1,000 yards. And if he does that, he's going to be a, low end QB1. And then other people have said, no, what do you guys think, honestly, going into 2023? Because I'm a little bit worried because that Colts team with whatever that's going on with Jonathan Taylor. I think he's going to be very up and down. And I don't know. I've taken some shots on him, and I've got him on a couple of dynasty, rosters, but in redraft leagues, I always wait on QB. And so I've got him on a couple of my redraft league rosters. So I don't know. What do you guys think? If you guys had to what are the odds of him being a QB1 in 2023, Will, for you?
Oh, 17%.
17%. Okay. That's low. Sure. That's low.
Yeah. I think the Colts are really bad.
Yeah. I think so too. Still though, QB1s can be on bad teams. Jake?
But there's just so many other good quarterbacks. It's just going to be tough to score enough points on that team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty terrified for all the rookie quarterbacks just because I think every team that they're on are all absolutely terrible. Like Will just alluded to. Richardson's going to be fantastic. Maybe not fantastic. He's going to be great for fantasy because he's got that rushing upside, but he's not a good thrower of the football, and the Colts are a terrible team. So yeah, I don't see it being enough to win offensive rookie of the year at an NFL level, where fantasy he'll be fine.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And I was talking about purely from a fantasy perspective when I asked about that. So, okay, we actually put defensive rookie of the year on here, Jake. I like this. Yeah, I don't know if you know, giving some defense players some love. You know that I love IDP leagues. Was this for me, or you just thought, okay, let's talk defense?
I mean, I just kind of listed all the NFL awards, but definitely just for you, right?
All right, Will, you want to lead us off with defensive rookie of the year?
Yeah, it's going to really hurt some of my comments, so I'll hold off on those for a second. I'm going to go just with Will Anderson. Obviously, first defensive player taken. I think Will Anderson is an absolute stud. First and best part about him, strong first name. Great first name. Second, 100%. defensive head coach. He's going to be, that type of like Micah Parsons type season, maybe not lining up on the line as much, but I think he has the opportunity to get the most sacks out of the guys in here that we've talked about. And I think that really elevates players for defensive rookie of the year.
Solid call. It's hard to argue against it. Jake, your name is interesting for your defensive rookie of the year.
Going to Jalen Carter of the Eagles. Unbelievable prospect. There was a video I saw recently on Twitter about some guys who played against him in college, and described playing against Jalen Carter as trying to stop an F-150 from going forward, saying that when he hit him, he flipped him and made him do multiple backflips in the air. The guy just seems like an absolute freak, and he's going to the Eagles, which it's got to be the best landing spot for any position in the league. So I think he's in a position to succeed, and I think he's just a hell of a player. So my vote's on Jalen Carter.
All right. Solid choice. You know, I think obviously the thing with Jalen Carter is just, where is his head at? And, but I think you're right. He landed the perfect spot, because that Eagles locker room with the veteran presence, they're going to make him, be a football player and focus, or he's just not going to last in the league very long. Right. So, I went with Jack Campbell, the linebacker for, the Detroit Lions. And remember that pick, the Lions just got ripped for their draft, with Gibbs and then Campbell. But, I think he's going to put up some big numbers. He's in a position to put up some big numbers for the Lions. And I was thinking about this more from an IDP perspective. I was not thinking about this in terms of the award, but I think he's got a shot. I mean, it's possible. Probably your choices are more solid, because I think those sacks and, guys like Will Anderson and Jalen Carter could have put up a bigger name for themselves than Jack Campbell. But I think, if you're looking at somebody that's going to be a stud in IDP leagues, I kind of like him. And I think he could win this award. So that's my pick.
So Shaq Leonard won it in 2018, kind of a similar, because he was not rushing the passer a ton, if I remember correctly. That would be the closest, I think, like comp to what he could do. First of all, great choice against the Hawkeye. I mean, I really wanted to go Luke Van Ness. Just, let's just jam those guys in here. So I would be so, so pleasantly surprised if Jack Campbell won Defensive Rookie of the Year. With Jalen Carter, so I just checked it too. Like, Chase Young won it when he was a rookie with the Washington Commanders, and he had 7.5 sacks. My thing with Jalen Carter is I think it's still going to be too much of a rotational player within that defense to actually rack up that amount of stats versus effect on the game. And so that's kind of where I just leaned. Who's going to be the most involved, and maybe some schemed up opportunities, but I could see Jalen Carter. It's a long shot, and I love the pick of Jack Campbell.
All right. Offensive player of the year. I'm trying to think. Oh, Jake, why don't you go first?
I like waiting for Ryan to pick who gets to talk.
I'm just kind of taking turns, rotating.
I actually had in my second show sheet that he would choose Jake for to go first on this one. So we're starting off hot.
So the top five betting odds players here are Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, McCaffrey, Chubb, and Tyreek Hill. I think maybe Will can tell us what's happened in the past few years, but I think it's pretty frequently, it should be a non-quarterback award, but I think the quarterback gets it pretty frequently who wins the MVP. But let's stick with the skill position players. Ja'Marr Chase for me, he's my fantasy 101 in both 1QB dynasty and redraft over Jefferson, which could be a hot take for some. They play on the same team in college. Everybody's aware of this. Chase was the wide receiver one on that team. He was the better player in college. He was drafted higher. He had more pedigree as a pedigree as a prospect. And he's got the better QB now. He's faster. And Jefferson now is competing with, instead of an old Thielen, he's got Hawk there for the full season. And Jordan Addison, who seems very promising. So obviously Chase has got some competition as well on T. Higgins, but I just think that it's going to be his time to shine.
All yeah, right. I could totally see it. It's not all like it's relatively common for it to be a QB. The last 4 years, it has not been. And then it was Patrick Mahomes before that, and then it was Todd Gurley, and then you'll kind of get into more QB like depth there. But it looks like they're trending towards away from the quarterback for a quarterback to be offensive player of the year. They'll win the MVP, and then they'll give the offensive player to somebody else. I really like this pick of Chase.
Yeah, it's a solid pick for sure. You know, I went Nick Chubb here, and once again, I should have been thinking in the context of offensive player of the year, the actual award and not fantasy, but it just gives me a chance to talk about how I think Nick Chubb is going to have a monster year in fantasy. Talk about, competition. You know, there's no Kareem Hunt there. You know, who's behind him? Is it Jerome Ford? I think is the, you know, kind of the backup running back there in Cleveland. I we'll talk more about Deshaun Watson later, but my question is about Deshaun Watson. So I really think Cleveland is just going to ride Chubb, and you know, I think one of the best running backs in the National Football League, and I don't know. So I wanted to throw down my my love for Nick Chubb.
Yeah, I think that's another really great pick, because I think he's going to be a huge part of that offense. It's going to be really important that Chubb succeeds and is healthy throughout the whole year. I went with Tyreek Hill. Just the narrative might be against him with the offseason, like punching the dude at the boat docks and whatever was going on. But that'll kind of fade away, I think, when it comes to the end of the season awards. And I think he honestly has a chance to hit the 2K yards. If he's really going to end his career after the 2025 season, then he's going to try to maximize everything he can do. And he's such a special talent. It's just amazing what he can do on the field. And I think 2K is obviously – It's a low percentage, but it's within the realm of possibilities. The second choice that I'm kind of kicking myself for now would be, I think Saquon Barkley could be up there too.
Yeah, I think I love the Hill call, Will, as well. And Saquon, of course. I mean, there are a number of players. That's what makes this league so much fun, is there's so many amazing talents to watch, right? So, we should be like trying to, I guess, argue like against the, like, no, there's no way that can happen, but no, I can't. I mean, it's such a great pick. Defensive player of the year. Once again, another category where they're just, you know, defensive studs. Jake and I were the same player. So Will, why don't you go first? And then we'll tell you, Jake and I will say,
oh, good old, easy to pick out on the field. Red sleeves, Matthew Judon for the Patriots. He hasn't won it yet. And he is, when you watch him play, he is just such a complete wrecking ball on the field for that Patriots defense. And he's one of my favorite players to watch. One, easy to pick out on the field, always. And always involved in the play. So I'm going to go with that. This is the year that Judon gets his just desserts and wins Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I love the pick. Jake, you want to share who we share our shared pick here?
So some people might see it as a homer pick, TJ Watt. I think Micah Parsons probably has the best odds to win it this year. The guy's an absolute freak, probably the best defensive player in the league, but TJ Watt's always the top three nominated for the award, just whenever he's healthy. Anyways, he's an absolute force himself, and I think if he has a full season healthy, he's gonna be chasing that sack record like he usually does, and he'd be my pick for defensive player of the year.
No one's gonna say a homer pick, because TJ Watt, if you watch football and you've seen the play, the guy's a monster. The guy can change the course of a game. Wasn't it game one last year, Jake? It was Pittsburgh playing Cincinnati, and I think it was game one, and TJ Watt basically, from my perspective, just kept the Steelers like in that game single-handedly. He's that type of player. I thought about saying Myles Garrett here. I think we mentioned him. He's also another guy that can completely, you know, wreck a game. So once again, hard to argue with these names, right? These guys just make such a difference.
And also Nick Bosa became the highest paid defensive player in history today.
Well-deserved. Yeah, good for him. Will, any thoughts on TJ Watt?
No, I think you totally get it. I just wanted to go. You guys had already written in here before I did, so I had to go different.
No, that's all good. All right, now let's get into this one. Was, I mean, hard, but maybe not so hard, and kind of boring what we put for our picks. But the MVP, almost, is it always a quarterback? Will, did you, when you did your research, did you just see quarterback? DeLawrence Taylor,
yeah, basically.
One year, maybe. I don't know.
I only tried to go like more modern era, because I think the past ones, they just don't matter anymore for like trying to think about who's actually going to win it.
Right. Yeah. So I guess I'll lead off. I went Patrick Mahomes. I don't think I have to say anything more. It's a boring pick, but I just think that guy is so elite. And, you know, no matter what happens with Travis Kelce's knee from here on out, I don't think it matters. I think Kelce is just that big of a difference maker. He's just going to put the team on his back and carry them to, you know, to maybe their Super Bowl title. So you guys picked a different player, though, which is also an equally good pick.
Oh, also quickly, last time a non-QB won it was 2012 Adrian Peterson. And then before that was 2006 LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah. Those guys had monster years, the years they won, if memory serves. Who wants to go? Jake, Will, you got the same guy, so.
Yeah, I'll fire it off. I'm going with Jalen Hurts. I think if Jalen Hurts played all 17 games last year, he would have been the MVP. I think he was the actual MVP, and you saw even Minshew, who's not like a terrible quarterback, he's not like good, but just how much that offense suffered without Jalen Hurts, and just how much he meant to the team, and what just how good they were overall. I think the Eagles, you have enough veterans coming back that are showing that they are a Super Bowl contender, and they're going to want to win. You know, obviously every team wants to win every game, but it's a little bit different when you have older guys who still have a lot of like left in the tank coming back to go for that win. And Jalen Hurts is also a great leader, you know, of men. He is a great player in the field, and he gets better each and every year so far in the NFL. And so if he even takes just, you know, a 3% to 5% step forward, he's just going to be absolutely incredible this year. And if he's healthy throughout the whole season, I think he'll walk away with this. It will be amazing.
Yeah.
Will pretty much stole the words right out of my mouth. I think he was the best player in the league last year. And like Will said, he gets better every single year. And there's camp reports pretty much saying is just that Hurts looks like he's taken another step this year. So if that's the case, like I said, with my defensive rookie of the year pick, the Eagles just got the best roster in football. And Hurts is he's a dog, man. The guy's, I think, is the best player in the league right now. And he's definitely a top three pick in Superflex leagues, if not number one.
Yeah. I love like him as a leader, as you discussed, Will. And I think people forget about that too. A lot of people in Chicago, especially Chicago sports radio, they're like, oh, Justin Fields, we could see him taking a step forward like Jalen Hurts. And maybe that's possible, but there's a big difference between the two. And I'm not talking about talent. I'm just talking about their path. If you think about a guy like Justin Fields, you know, until he got to Chicago, he didn't have the same type of adversity that I think Hurts has experienced, like in his collegiate career and, you know, being drafted in the second round. So, yeah, I just think has tremendous character. He's a tremendous leader. He's just a fun story and just a hell of a football player. So, I like the call there, guys. All right. This is one of my favorite things that we do every year. We go through and we pick, you know, every division. So we will start off with the NFC East, and it's kind of boring because we're chalk here in the NFC East. So who wants to share our collective pick?
Well, the Eagles are champs until they're dethroned. Like that, I just don't see anybody else like taking them out. If Jalen Hurts got hurt, I think it would be the only scenario, because Mariota looked completely lost even in the preseason.
Yeah,
and so that's the end. I'm not going to bet on injury when picking the team. I think the Cowboys are a fascinating team, and they're always talked about. You know, I always find them super interesting, but I can't choose them. The Giants have almost some of the like the least amount of talent in that wide receiver core overall to do it. I almost wanted to pick as a dark horse dude like Kayvon Thibodeau for defensive player of the year. But anyway, I think the Eagles just walk away with this one because the Commanders are just like, that's a wash. Nobody cares.
Yeah, I think it's really between the Cowboys and the Eagles. Don't need to go too in deep with the Giants or the Commanders there, but Cowboys probably have a top two defense in the league, if not number one. But the problem is they're competing with the Eagles in my mind for that top spot. And Dak, he was a top quarterback. I think he was number one before his big injury. And they brought in Brandon Cooks. Tony Pollard is probably better than Zeke ever was, like, later in his career there. So yeah, I think like the Cowboys are a solid team and they're going to be competitive. There's no chance they don't make the playoffs in my mind, but it's the Eagles. Like, it's the Eagles.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Cowboys have a shot, but I also will be interested to see what their offense is like. You know, now that Mike McCarthy essentially is in charge of the offense. Right. So, yeah. So, well, let's move on to the NFC West. And here it's a little more interesting. So, Jake, why don't you lead us off? NFC West, who's going to take it? You're going to go with the Arizona Cardinals, right? Bold pick? Rams, maybe?
You caught me. The team that is actively tanking. I think they would be happy if they went 0-17, or at least their management. No, it's just similar to the other division. There's really only two teams that I think are really going to be competitive whatsoever. The Rams and Cardinals are going to be competing for the first overall pick, especially with the Cup injury coming out. They have zero offense there whatsoever. And even Stafford guy's like 35, 36 years old right now, so I don't really expect him to be the tide that rises all boats there. So out of the 49ers, out of the Seahawks, both fantastic teams. I understand Purdy won 13 games last year or something along those lines and looked fantastic. So while I believe he's probably really good, it is definitely in his range of outcomes that he's a bum. Like, he was the last pick in the NFL draft, passed by every single team 7 times. So I think Sam Darnold is a little like a sneaky guy to get some starts this year. And I'm going to go with the Seahawks. They added Witherspoon, a top 5 pick in the draft, cornerback to go with Tariq Woolen, who was fantastic as a rookie last year. So you put them as their top two cornerbacks. Their defense is looking like it was the Legion of Boom era. They brought in Bobby Wagner back. You add JSN to that offense with Tyler Lockett and Metcalf and Noah Fant, who's one of the most athletic tight ends in the league. I think they're going to be very hard to stop. And Geno was the most accurate quarterback last year. So I think all around the ball, that team is looking good. Charbonnet as either a breather back or a 1A, 1B. It's solid. Like, they have just a fantastic team, and obviously the 49ers do too, but I'm going to pick who I think is the better quarterback in that division.
Wow. Okay. Will, is Geno Smith a better quarterback than Brock Purdy?
I mean, probably. Like, probably quite a bit. He's quite a bit better. I'm still going Niners. Their team is just, they're just too darn good. I think the Seahawks, and we'll get into it later about Geno. I don't think Geno's as good as what he was last year for the long term. I was very happy for him and very happy for everything that Geno did last year. But I just don't see the Seahawks being able to repeat that kind of like magic that they had going on last season. I'm going Niners, and I don't think it's going to be too close.
Yeah, I'm with Will on this one, Jake. I think the Seahawks, it's a fair pick, and you make a good argument. But I do feel that, I just don't think they're going to have quite that magic, quite that same run that they had in them. And the 49ers, remember, they were successful with Jimmy G as their quarterback, right? Like, I don't think Purdy has to be, and he probably is just mediocre, but I think he's good enough to run the offense and be productive enough. They're not going to be quite as efficient as they were, obviously, that stretch last season, but. I think he's good enough, and they've got a great defense, well coached team. So I got to go with the Niners here. I mean, I do think it'll be close, but I think the 49ers will end up winning the NFC West. Now the NFC North. I am fascinated by the NFC North, guys. And what's funny here is we all went with the same team, which surprised me because I was certain that. One of you would take the Lions, but we didn't. We went Vikings. I've already kind of talked about the Vikings. Like I talked about how I think their offense is going to be even a little bit better if that's possible this year, and I think their defense can only be better. I like the Vikings to win at what I think will be a very close division. I think any team has a chance to win it. Obviously, for that to happen, for the Packers, their defense will be better because it has to be healthier this year. But if Jordan Love is even just okay, I think the Packers have a chance. For the Bears to win it, Justin Fields would have to be the real deal. He would have to elevate his game. He'd have to take it to the next level. That's the only way the Bears have a shot. But I think it's within the range of outcomes. And then, of course, the Lions just have to continue to, keep progressing the way they're progressing, right? So why'd you guys say the Vikings, though? Why'd we all go Vikings?
I'll go, since it's a bit of a homer pick for Will. People might just think it's a fandom thing.
With school.
similar to what Ryan said, right? Like, the best quarterback on an NFL level is Kirk Cousins in that division. Justin Fields is the best for fantasy, but that doesn't necessarily win games in the NFL. So he could always take a step. Maybe he becomes like that Hurts level that people dream, but it's a lower percentage in that range of outcomes, right? So, and they probably have the worst supporting cast out of anyone in the division. It's a tough one to call because we don't know what to think of Jordan Love. I think if he was good, they might have kind of wrapped up the Aaron Rodgers situation maybe a little bit faster, but it's A-Rod, so that's easier said than done. So he could be good, right? So I'm just going to go with Kirk. They improved on offense. They got rid of some dead meat, I think, in the offseason. I don't think losing Thielen, Dalvin Cook, guys like that is Patrick, like, I don't think it's a huge loss for them. So, yeah, I think the additions are greater than their subtractions.
Well, one thing, Jake, you mentioned it with Jordan Love, that we very rarely see in the NFL is we've actually seen him have a chance to not get thrown into it too quickly. I mean, he's had plenty of time to learn, from one of the best in Aaron Rodgers. And, I think that will help him. So, I don't necessarily think he's going to be great, but if he's even a solid NFL quarterback, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that he just didn't get thrown into it. I mean, that's my own, personal theory, and we'll see. He could be awful. I hope he is, obviously, but, selfishly as a Bears fan, but Will, Vikings, Brandon Holm, then you, anything else to add?
Well, their defense can't be as bad as it was last year, is my opinion. So if that makes a marginal improvement, they did win a lot of very close games. They had the league's largest comeback. There was a lot of things that will not be repeated from last year. But I think that I'm actually very excited about the Vikings season. And again, as we're in the preseason, this happens every year with all the teams that I cheer for or pull for. I'm always pumped, and I will always, always ride the high of what they're going to do. I think the Vikings get off to a hot start against the Buccaneers, and everybody's going to be saying that they're going to be division champs, right after week one.
Yeah. Remember, the new defensive coordinator, Brian Flores, that guy can coach. So, and I think coaching goes a long way in this league. Even if their defensive roster is not the best, he's going to be a difference maker for that defensive unit. So, okay. NFC South, another intriguing division, but we are once again all chalk on this one. Sorry, everybody.
I'm shocked it's chalk.
Really? Why? Because honestly, for me, we all kind of say the Falcons. Jake, you laid out the case, because Will talked about the Falcons already and Arthur Smith. Why don't you talk about why you picked the Falcons so we can look at the rest of the teams?
So I'm bullish on the Falcons because I really like their additions they made on defense. They brought in Jesse Bates, who's one of the better safeties in the league, coming from the Bengals. Calais Campbell, he's getting up there in age, but the guy's a beast. Like, his presence always gets known. Bud Dupree, David Onyemata, and then you have Bijan, Pitts, and London on offense. The problem is that outside of those three, like, they have nobody. Tyler Algier, like, if I ask either of you right now, who is the wide receiver two on the Falcons?
Scotty Miller. Isaiah Hodgins?
No, it's the guy that...
Hodgins is on the Giants.
No, it's the guy that played for the Raiders, right?
Matt Collins?
Matt Collins, yeah, isn't he?
That's what I was trying to think of. Not Isaiah Hodgins, Matt Collins.
And Matt Collins, Scoots Miller. Yeah, Scotty Miller is not a wide receiver two on an NFL team. Like, Which this is exactly why I have no worries about Kyle Pitts this year, and we'll get into that when we kind of get into the fantasy aspect of the show. And obviously, everybody knows if you're a listener of the show how much I love Kyle Pitts, but
The wide receiver two last year was keeping him down. You're right,
and they have the easiest schedule in the league. So if they get any injuries or anything, I think there's like a shaky there. And I don't think the division is like all slouches. I think the Saints are really good, and I think the Bucks are pretty decent. Like, the Bucks still have tons of talent on that team, like Winfield Jr., Vita Vea, Dave, like I'm missing some names right here, but their defense is solid. Like, they didn't lose too much from the Tom Brady eight, like when they went to the Super Bowl. Baker was decent last year with the Rams at the end of the year, and he's been good in the past. Like, it wouldn't shock me if he did well with the best supporting cast he's ever played with in Godwin, Mike Evans, those kind of guys. So, and even the Saints, Michael Thomas is only, if he's on the football field, he's good. Like, I don't get Michael Thomas's current ranks in fantasy, because the guy's been literally the wide receiver one overall for multiple seasons. And when he's played, he gets like pretty much 20 points or more. So
that was a long time ago.
Chris
Jake.
Olive on there. Yeah. Well, Calvin Ridley's a third round pick right now, if not second. So, and Michael Thomas, you can get in like the 10th.
Michael Thomas is 30. Holy cow.
Yeah, but Michael Thomas is old, and he was injured, not just suspended. We'll see if he can stay healthy. I mean, I don't think he's a bad pick for like, you know, what you're going to acquire him, you know, in a dynasty league if you get him cheap or redraft or whatever. But
Derek Carr is an improvement. Chris Olave seems like he's the truth. So I don't like the division's not terrible, and the Falcons have never done it before. So the fact it's chalk is surprising to me, even though it's my pick.
Well, I mean, for me, I think it gets down to, first of all, the Bucks. Let's face it, Baker Mayfield sucks. He's a horrible quarterback, right? I mean, don't get confused by that Thursday night game that we all saw him come
He beat
back.
Out Kyle Trask, Ryan.
Yeah, I know. So they just don't have the quarterback. They're a little bit older. I don't know. I mean, they do have some talent. Maybe they can surprise, but they don't have a QB. That's at the end of the day. I think the Panthers, I think their defense could be good. I don't know. We'll see how Bryce does with them. And I guess the Saints are, could be a solid team. I don't know. I'm just not a big Derek Carr believer at the end of the day. The Falcons are just, I don't know. I see what you're saying. It's a little bit surprising, but I think, I just think their defense has improved. I think Arthur Smith is a good coach. And I think they have a lot of talent on the offensive side. I think that they're set up to do well with all the talent they have on the offensive side of the ball, even though they don't have the quarterback either. So I don't know. It definitely is intriguing. And I don't think we can confidently say, of all these picks, where would you say, confidence level with this one, the Falcons NFC South? For me, it's not exactly at the top, but I don't know. When I look at all these teams, I have to go with the Falcons. Will, what about you?
I think the Saints could challenge for it, but it's not going to be because of Michael Thomas. It's I wish the best for Michael Thomas, but I would bet there's just no way. His last 100-yard receiving game was week 11 of 2020, or sorry, week 13 of 2020. And he's played it's insane just how little he's played over the last 3 years. It was 4 years ago. 4 years ago when Michael Thomas mattered. I like Olave. I like Rashid Shaheed, and what he did last year. They might play a four tight end set, if Taysom Hill gets out there. They do have some creativity on offense. And I like the Saints, but I just don't see that team's going to be able to win enough games, even just head-to-head against the Falcons outside of the division, to really challenge for it. I think that they're trying to figure things out as best they can, but they're kind of like a dying breed.
All right. Well, we'll see. Let's hit to the AFC. How are we doing on time, gentlemen?
Good to go.
We know good.
We can go a little bit quicker.
Okay. AFC East. Will, you and I have the Bills. I just said, my only addition to that is that I think the Dolphins could be interesting if Tua stays healthy. I think it will be tight, but I think at the end of the day, the Bills are the cream of the crop. Jake, you disagree with this though.
Yeah, the AFC is loaded. Like, and this is one of the tougher divisions in football. The Dolphins have a shot. I think the Pats could always surprise. Bills are the obvious choice. I think they've won it the past few years. But I'm taking the Jets. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is coming to town. I think it's kind of he's pulling the Tom Brady where he goes to the team and excels with that with said team. And the Jets are fantastic. They are going to have one of the best defenses in the league. And then you bring Aaron Rodgers to an offense with Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson. I mean, then they got Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, guys like that. But the last time Aaron Rodgers was playing without a broken thumb, he won back-to-back MVPs. And I think the new environment is going to be good. Like, it's going to be good for him. I've been watching Hard Knocks, and it's been a fun team to root for so far. So I think they're just going to ride through the season, and it's going to be good vibes.
I got the Hard Knocks bump from Jake. Okay. That explains the pick. No, I'm just kidding. No, they could. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, I think the odds of the Pats winning are pretty slim, but yeah, you with the track record of their head coach, you can't count them out completely. But yeah, I think it'll be brutal, and I think the Bills are, you know, still stand above the rest. Will, you clearly feel the same way because you picked them as well.
The Bills just aren't as hot as they used to be, but they're still a pretty darn good team. I think that the Jets have a pretty tough start of the season schedule. The Jets do. That'll be very, very interesting. And I think we're going to learn a lot week one, you know, Bills and Jets, and it'll be really fun to watch. If the Jets win this, it won't be a massive surprise to me, but I think it will be a surprise. That defense is good too. That offensive line, we'll see how it holds up. I think Rodgers can kind of mitigate a lot of that. When you have somebody commanding the offense and commanding, you know, coverages and how they're changing what they're doing on the offensive line with blocking schemes. I think that will matter a lot, but I think the Bills are still just too strong overall as a team.
Let's spend about 2 seconds on the AFC West. Surprise listeners. We went with the Chiefs. Shocker. I know. And for a second, guys, I thought about getting cued and writing in, the Chargers, but you know, that was just disingenuous. I guess if heaven forbid Mahomes gets injured, or you know, obviously the Chargers could win it. But anything else? Anything we should add, or should we just move on because it's so obvious?
Yeah, even if Kelce misses time, I think the Chiefs are going to take it.
Yeah,
I think the past 2 years, I have bet on the Chargers at some point in this prediction show, and it hasn't panned out for me once. I think we're probably. If we're just blowing them off here and barely discussing it, I think that's a bit disrespectful to the Chargers, who are probably going to be a fantastic team this year. With a healthy Justin Herbert, you kind of expect, like, it's been a bit of a hot pick this offseason to pick him as like an MVP guy. And just like someone who's probably going to take the next step. But yeah, you have Travis Kelce injury right now. I think he's going to miss week one for sure. And it kind of depends, like, if he misses, like, 6 to 8 weeks or something like that, then, yeah, I think the Chargers are a pretty sneaky bet to steal the division title from him. But I'm going to bet that Travis Kelce might only be out for a few weeks. And if that's the case, I kind of – the Chiefs are a safe bet.
Yeah, I mean, I think the intriguing thing with the Chargers, of course, is Kellen Moore going there and see what – you know, and Herbert being healthy this year – you know, see what is possible with that offense. So yeah, they'll be a fun team. And this could be the year, Jake, where you regret not picking them, because I think I've done that before on the show. Like, this is a Chargers year and always disappointed. So we'll see. Okay. AFC North, this is super intriguing. And I think we all have different picks, which I love. So I'll spend at least a minute or two talking about this. Jake, it's a shocker. You got the Steelers on the show sheet. You want to talk about it for a second?
Yeah, so this division's really tough. So you have Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, and then Kenny Pickett. I think it's pretty clear to say that Kenny Pickett's the worst quarterback in the division. There's a chance that we see Deshaun Watson of 2022, and he doesn't take a bounce back from what we've seen of him in the past, right? And all of those teams, like, they're deep on both sides of the ball. Like, there's tons of talent in this division. But so I think people might say it's a homer pick, but I'm going to go with the Steelers. What I kind of said with Tomlin, he wins at least 9 games with bad teams. I think it's going to be a great roster for him. So, And they've had tons of preseason hype. I'm starting to believe it. I think Pickett can take a step. That's kind of what the beat writers and most of the words coming out of Pittsburgh have been saying so far. And I think their improvements in the offseason have been like pretty drastic. Like the O-line, you're bringing in Isaacs, Soamalu, probably butchering his name, but on the Kelce podcast, Jason has mentioned that he is the smartest player he's ever been with. So I love to hear that because that offensive line needs as much coaching as it can get. You got Broderick Jones, who is like a top 12 pick, I believe. We traded up to get him in the draft. If he ends up being a tackle of the future for us, that's huge. Herbig was also signed as a guard, and we drafted his brother in, I want to say, the fourth round, who has been glowing preseason reports as well. And I love the other picks that we got. I really wanted a Joey Porter Jr., son of old Porter Steeler, Super Bowl champion. So I love to get him, and to bring in Patrick Peterson, Pittsburgh native, on the other side is just like, I love that. Is there anyone I'm missing here? I think George Pickens can take a step forward as well. I know that it's kind of trendy to diss George Pickens and his lack of separation, but the guy's a dog. Like every 50-50 ball for him, people like it's a 90-10. Like I don't care when it jumps out on the film that much. I don't think it's a fluke. So, come on, you got TJ Watt, Minka. Like the defense is amazing. Again, great coaching. And Darnell Washington, he went in like the third, fourth round of rookie drafts, if not like undrafted. The guy, I don't really know if he's going to be that fantasy relevant because he's known as like the sixth offensive lineman. So he's one of the best. Like he's a generational blocker. So realistically, that's not very good, especially for fantasy, right? But I think he's going to be a monster to catch touchdowns. The guy's like 6'8". And I've seen comparisons to him to Michael Jordan on Twitter from like other teammates and stuff, and that he was blocking TJ Watt. So I just think like on an NFL perspective, the draft, I think we knocked out of the park. I think some of our free agent signings, and if we have some of our young guys step up, like, I don't know, sky's the limit. I'm definitely being a homer optimistic here, but it is what it is.
I appreciate the enthusiasm, Jake, though. It's fair. And you got very, very in depth with the Steelers and your optimism.
And I'm excited.
I think, you know, they are, you know, arguably have the best coach in the AFC North, right? Mike Tomlin. So yeah, and it's certainly possible. I really do think it's possible for any of these teams to take the North. I went Cincinnati. I don't think I need to get into the details. I just think, even though with the Joe Burrow injury, I guess there's a little bit of concern with that, but I think he's the best quarterback. Even better than Lamar Jackson in the division. So I'm just going to go kind of easy and go Cincinnati. Will, who'd you go with? You go with the Ravens, you go with the Browns.
First and foremost, it's Joey Porter Jr., son of not just a Steeler player, Joey Porter, the old Steeler great. I feel like Jake, you tripped up over the name there. I was giggling to myself. I don't think you actually did, and you're on mute, so we can't hear you. So it's great. It's just Will monologue time. I'm going to go with the Ravens. I think since he starts slow with Joe Burrow being a little bit banged up coming into the season, they've also often gotten off to slow starts, which is very odd. And I think the Ravens start hot, and I think they continue it on. So I think this is the Ravens year the Ravens are going to win the division this year and be a real thorn in the side of people in the playoffs.
Yeah, it certainly can happen. I mean, it's hard for me to knock any team that you guys would have picked in the AFC North. It's going to be fun. I think NFC North and AFC North, I think they're going to be, both will be a lot of fun to watch. AFC South. Once again, you get to this is it, right? This is the last division we haven't called. And this is another one where we went kind of chalky with Jacksonville. And I think it's probably obvious why we're going Jacksonville. But I guess my question, guys, and you could talk about the Jags if you'd like, but is there an argument for any other team? I mean, I think it's hard to make the argument for the Colts or the Texans. The Titans, though, right? I mean, they're always good. Mike Vrabel, don't we believe in him? Don't we think that he can have this team competitive? Could the Jags have a letdown this year? Could they take a step back? I don't know. Just trying to add some intrigue to this discussion.
unless there's some really bad luck. I think it's clearly the Jags. I don't think there needs to be a ton of discussion. I do think the Titans are going to be competitive, just like they are every year, no matter what. Vrabel is one of the best coaches in the NFL, and I think he's amazing. But I don't think there's too much more to add here to kind of keep this one moving.
Yeah, I think the Vrabel bump is real, like you guys both said. And I think what's missed is that the Titans were probably one of the more injured teams, like, out of anybody last season. So if they can just stay healthy, they definitely have a shot. But the roster, I just don't see it, especially compared to the Jags, who Trevor Lawrence looks like he could be, like, a top five quarterback in the league. And you add Ridley to that offense, who, if he's anything like he was, the sky's the limit. So,
all right, let's. I think we should skip to our Super Bowl matchups, and then we can go with who you think wins it and your MVP from that team.
Sounds good. Let's do it. So Super Bowl matchup. I can see what I have. I have a repeat, which is boring, right? Like, gosh, how lame is that? Chiefs Eagles. So I have the Eagles winning this time, getting over the bump. I just think in the NFC, the Eagles to me are just in a class in and of themselves. I think with their defense and their offense, I think they're just going to crush NFC. And I think the Chiefs also with Patrick Mahomes, until someone can knock him off, I'm not going to bet against him. So I'll go with the Eagles, and MVP would be Jalen Hurts.
I'll go next. So I think mine's a bit of a fun one. I kind of alluded to it with the Aaron Rodgers on the Tom Brady trajectory. I think that's just going to be a kind of a dream season like it was for Tom, where the Jets make it to the Super Bowl, got to take out some tough teams in the process. But for some reason, like, I can just picture it happening in my mind. So that's what I'm going with. And then out of the NFC, yeah, I agree that the Eagles are probably the best team. I have them to win the division. But I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys. Kind of mentioned it a bit earlier, but I think they have the best defense in the league. You add Brandon Cooks, you get Michael Gallup healthy, Pollard's legit, top O-line in the league. And then you have absolute game breakers on defense and Micah Parsons, Trevon Diggs as a turnover monster. And you add Stephon Gilmore to that already elite defense. So kind of my the story I'm putting in my head for the NFC is something might happen to Dak in the NFC Championship game. And they're going to go through the 49ers with Trey Lance at quarterback. And then it's all going to end their dreams in the Super Bowl, unfortunately, because the Jets are going to take it home. I know we have some Cowboy fans listening, so I really wanted to pick the Cowboys to win it all, but I'm going to go with the Jets. And if you have Cowboys versus Jets in the Super Bowl, New York versus Dallas, that's going to be the most watched Super Bowl like in history. I can only imagine the amount of money that will be made by the league.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're right about that. All right. Well,
yeah, I agree. I'm going Bills versus Eagles, and Bills finally take home the ship and make a lot of really old Buffalo fans very, very happy. And that also makes Josh Allen the MVP. I think that, as I said earlier, since he without winning the division, beats the Jets in the wild card round. And I think the Bills kind of all coalesce and it comes together at the right time. And I think Josh Allen is still, he might take a comeback in that Super Bowl, but he's got the dog in him and they're going to figure it out. So yeah, I'm going with the Bills this year. Just kidding. Viking now.
Yeah. And I got Aaron Rodgers taking home Super Bowl MVP as well. I think if the Jets win it, it's kind of the obvious choice. And he's already a locked in Hall of Famer. So I think it kind of brings back the talks of kind of Tom Brady, maybe like three Super Bowls ago when Aaron Rodgers was looked at as one of the, like, maybe the best ever. So I think he gets kind of back in the conversation of being top two, three all time.
He's got a lot of home losses in the NFC title game to get back in the conversation with one Super Bowl, Jake, but I think Rodgers is one of the best ever, but yeah, I feel like there's a lot left on the table for him. But yeah, he's got at least one more shot this year. It'll be interesting to see what he can do with the opportunity. All right, fantasy predictions. We'll try to, we have a couple of categories here, so we'll try to go through these quickly. Of course, first off, the bust category. Who wants to lead off with their bust? And how much time are we going to spend? Just go quickly go through these. Maybe we name them and we go with a couple of quick reasons for why we label them a bust.
I'll go first. I was kind of excited to get to the fantasy just because we haven't talked in so long. So this is kind of our chance to get all of our takes and kind of just spill them out there. So
we probably should have just done this, but
it's definitely a shot. But I like, this is probably my favorite episode like that we do. So to be able to go through our predictions and on an NFL level too, we're fun. So,
and a lot of fantasy takes come out through that too.
Yeah, exactly. My bust for fantasy, Bryce Young. I think Carolina's got like the worst supporting cast in just in football. I think Mingo was a bad prospect. I think Miles Sanders somehow being drafted higher than he was when he was with the Eagles going to Carolina just makes no sense in the world. So I think Miles Sanders is a massive bust at his ADP as well. And something, a narrative that does not get talked about at all, and I kind of talked about it with Will pre-show, that Carolina is going to be bad. I don't think that's too shocking. Bryce Young is tiny. I don't want to judge his talent whatsoever because he was fantastic while being tiny in college. So I don't think that's going to be too much of a hindrance, but I think the supporting cast will be. If they end up, again, it's a long shot, but if they end up being worse than the Cardinals, there's just no way that you don't pick Caleb Williams over any quarterback you have currently. So I'm not saying Bryce Young is going to get Josh Rosen, but
you're saying the Bears are getting Caleb. Remember, the Bears have their pick, their first round pick.
Oh, I love that. So yeah, I think they would be moving on from Justin Fields in that situation and grabbing Caleb Williams. But I also have Keenan Allen as a bust. Guy came in the league at running a 4.7 something. He's now like 31 years old, and he's playing less in the slot because they're giving more time to Big Mike Williams in there. So I think we all think that the Chargers are going to be ascending with the new Kellen Moore as well. But I'm going to call a shot that Keenan Allen has passed his prime and that he's just going to fall off a cliff, because there's a great article this offseason about how fantasy managers misunderstand age cliff. And it's more of just guys are more likely to just fall off completely than to gradually decline. And I think we're going to see that with Keenan Allen this year, just kind of calling that shot. And lastly, just getting them all out right now. Daniel Jones, guy's a bum. He's not a good quarterback. He's a jag, just a guy. A funny tweet I saw on Twitter, I'm not calling it X, was that Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes had 7 big time throws all season. Well, Will's Super Bowl MVP pick, Josh Allen, had that in one playoff game. Daniel Jones isn't good. Don't be fooled. Don't draft him early when he was going as like way late last year.
All right, Jake, I like him. I like the calls, good justifications. Yeah, Daniel Jones to me is interesting because, I don't think he's that talented, but, you know, Brian Daboll, the magic of him, can he keep it going? We'll find out. And then Keenan Allen, I think there's definitely that danger. And I've heard mixed things about, you know, whether, you know, him being not used as much in the slot is going to be good or bad. I've heard arguments the other way. So, but yeah, you got to worry about his age for sure. For me, quickly, Deshaun Watson, I think for obvious reasons, you hear a lot of positive things in the preseason, and you don't want to, you know, put too much stock in those. But we've been hearing a lot of negative things about Deshaun Watson, and that makes me nervous considering, you know, we've never seen a situation like this when he's coming back from, right? The reason he was out of the league, like mentally, what kind of toll did that take on him? So I think there's a chance he could bust this year, and maybe for his career. We'll see. Running backs, one I want to point out in particular is Joe Mixon. It seems like Joe Mixon, we're excited about him because, you know, he's in Cincinnati, but he's getting older up there, and I just don't think he's gonna produce as well as people might think. I think there's some other talent in Cincinnati, potential options that could step in for him, like the Illinois product Chase Brown, for example, or Chris Evans. I don't know. I'm worried about Mixon. And Calvin Ridley, I talked about him earlier. I just think he's going to be a good, but maybe not reach that, you know, where we're drafting him. And then Darren Waller. Man, I like Darren Waller. I love him. I think he's going to be great when he's healthy. But come on. I mean, he's been hurt so often. And people, I've been in draft. I was in a draft that Monday night. Someone drafted Waller before T.J. Hockenson. It just blew my mind. I know we're excited about him, but that to me was crazy, and I'm just worried about Waller. I think he's gonna be awesome for 3 games and then get hurt. We're all gonna be sad. So those are my busts. Will,
all right. I'm pretty excited about Waller and Keenan Allen still. We talked about the kind of like pre-podcast, but I think Keenan Allen kind of makes the argument for himself about not needing athleticism to win. But anyway, that whole the whole Cliff thing, there always be sticks in the mud, and they're like, I'm not going anywhere. And at first, when this was in here, I was thinking like, oh, you know, we're talking mostly rookies. Cause I think Quentin Johnson was kind of like disappointed his first year, but that was a very fun, it's a very common take. So we'll stay off that. Okay, I think Ramondre Stevens is not going to pay off his ADP. I don't know how that offense is fully going to function. And I think Ramondre is okay. You know, not like good or great. Like he's good, not great. So I don't think he's going to elevate. And over last year with anything that's behind him, they're going to have to rely more on him. And I don't see him holding him up throughout this season. I think Ramondre is going to disappoint a lot of people. I think Mark Andrews at tight end and where he's going, I think you're going to see, compared to expectations, he's just not going to meet that. They've added so many other things in the passing court. You have a new offensive coordinator. Things are changing in Baltimore. And I think Mark Andrews is just overpriced. I think he's still a great player. But I think with what you're expecting from him, the cost you have to pay to acquire him or take him in drafts, that he's not going to hit that level. I think Geno Smith is not going to repeat what the year he had last year. It was a fantastic year. You know, they've added that offense, but with what Geno did and how kind of the running back room worked out and everything like that, I just feel like there's no way Geno is going to be as good as he was last year. And those are, I just put together three ones or three for the bus. I don't like busts as much.
Yeah. It's depressing. Let's talk about my guys. So Jake, put this in. So my guy is this like somebody we think is going to do really great in 2023 and just players that we love? Like what's like a my guy? Is this like, or like this, like what, how would it define my
someone guy? That you're planting your flag on.
Okay. Flag plant player. Okay. That's fair. So do we want to just pick one or two? I think we all have a lot. How many do we want to do?
Just run through them.
All right, let's do it. Let's run through them. Jake, or no, Jake, you let off. Will, you want to go? Why don't you lead us off first this time?
Yeah, A-Chain with the Dolphins. I can't quit him, and I'm not off him. He's even played a snap yet in the NFL. I love what he'll be able to do on the field, and I know he got banged up in the offseason, but I will acquire him anywhere I can, and I'm happy with losing out if it doesn't work out. I think he is such a perfect fit for what they want to do, and that they're not going to overwork him. So I am still so high on A-Chain for me. So he's one of my guys. I don't think like we're talking about like RB1 this year, but I am talking about RB1 this year, like a top 12 RB this year. I'm so excited to see him actually hit the field. Hopefully by like week 4, he's fully healthy and, you know, revved up and ready to go. And I can acquire more shares of him before that time. Also added weight, you know, before coming to the NFL, he was running track in college and things like that. You have a whole different, like, life just changes when you come to the NFL. The other ones, I just ran across my redraft leagues, but I feel like are my guys for this season, like not just talking dynasty. Even though they're still super valuable in dynasty. Number one, as I talked earlier, is Christian Kirk. I think being super undervalued in both dynasty and redraft, I think he's going to be super valuable. Amon-Ra, but he's such a chalk pick now. If everybody thinks he's going to be incredible, like, he's almost like too favorited by most like fantasy podcasts and sites. Like, it's almost boring. I think AJ Brown, he's projected to do so much worse than he did last year. I don't understand why that's the reason. Devonta Smith and AJ Brown, AJ Brown's still the alpha. Devonta's still going to be like, not Robin, but like, you know, like he'll be like a gray Batman, you know, to like the fully black Batman in the movie, to AJ Brown. Najee Harris is one of my guys. I think people are fading him way too hard. Najee is still really good and still an incredible running back. He still was, you know, a first round talent, even though running backs are fading. I'm huge on Najee in both dynasty and redraft, and maybe actually overweight on him. So those would be my, I'll just run through those.
I like that. Will. I think you're right. Najee's getting like a lot of hate out there, it seems. And I think some of that is maybe people are really like excited about Jalen Warren and what he's done in the preseason. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. It's really weird. And you're right with AJ Brown. It seems like he's a little bit disrespected, and I don't really get that either. This is a good list. For me, I've got two Minnesota Vikings on the list. Kirk Cousins and TJ Hawkinson in particular. I think Cousins, people are a little bit sleeping on him and talk about, oh, we know who he is. He's going to be this solid but not spectacular QB1. I really think he could have a monster year where he throws for crazy yards, crazy touchdowns. So I like Cousins a lot. And then TJ Hawkinson, I think, you know, now he's got his contract. I think, like I said, I expect a lot of things good things to the Minnesota Vikings offense. And I think there could be a lot of guys that flourish on offense. I think Hawk is going to benefit. So I'm big on Hawkinson. Roshon Johnson, Chicago Bear. A lot of people, I think, are high on him. And, you know, the reports from Chicago this preseason, the Bears love him. I think he is going to end up taking over the backfield at some point this year, especially in redraft leagues. You know, super cheap guy. I think I got him on almost all my redraft rosters. Big fan of Roshan. And then Drake London, I think, is going to take a step this year. And I think he's a guy that could just really blow up. And he doesn't get as much love as the other you know, second-year wide receivers like Wilson or Olave. So I'm really excited about Drake London this year taking a step forward. And I'm worried about a tight end that Jake might talk about, and we could talk about that later, Kyle Pitts. I love Pitts. I just don't know if he's healthy, and I worry that he's not 100% healthy going into this year. So I'm a little bit nervous, and I think that's going to help London be the alpha. Well, him and Bijan in Atlanta. So, Jake, what about your guys?
I'm going to completely ignore what you said about Kyle Pitts and pretend like I didn't even hear it. I totally agree with Roshan Johnson and Drake London, like just the constellation of targets. And Drake London, alpha Kyle Pitts last year, the guy's a freak. And Will's picks, like A-Chain, I don't think people realize just how high his ceiling is with, like, he's in the perfect system. Like, nobody uses guys with speed better than Mike McDaniels. Coming from that San Fran offense. So if he gets like the bulk of the touches, I think he could be really sneaky. Amon-Ra, probably a top three in Dynasty, top four. Like, it's, for me, it's CeeDee Lamb and Amon-Ra in that tier two. And Najee Harris, like, yeah, it's so fun to hate on Najee Harris this offseason and love Jalen Warren. But at the end of the day, Jalen Warren was undrafted and he's 5'8". So I think at most he's going to be a change of pace guy. His best bet is going to be 1B, but there's just no way that he steals the job from Najee outright. If Najee's a bum, like in which he very well could be, then sure, it's going to be 1A, 1B, and then they're probably going to move on from him next year and bring in somebody else. But I don't think Warren is like a bet to be a starter long term. My guys, I'm going to start with Mike Williams. I think Herbert's ascending with the Kellen Moore offense. And I'm kind of predicting that cliff fall of Keenan. And I remember a time recently where he was getting like 30 points a week. And I just, I think he's just going far too late in redraft. And he's pretty much disrespected completely in Dynasty. Kyle Pitts, I don't know if people forget, but he's generational. He is probably one of the best tight end prospects of all time, if not the best. And he had an absolutely elite rookie season. He did things that rookie year that pretty much no other tight end did. And I understand it was a tough own of Kyle Pitts last season, but I'm going to blame Marcus Mariota for a lot of that. Nobody's going to be targeted outside of Pitts, London, and Bijan. Like, we couldn't name that wide receiver two on that team. There is nobody else. London can only get so much of the targets, and they can only run Bijan so much. Easiest schedule. Out of anyone in the league, I'm pretty sure. He had the highest uncatchable target rate last year. So that's why I'm kind of blaming Mariota. And I don't know how good Ritter is going to be, but he's got to be better than Mariota was last year. In the final eight games, Kyle Pitts had a 30.4 target share that was ranked only behind Davante Adams and Cooper Kupp, who are pretty good last time I checked. He had a 13.1 ADOT, which is exactly what you look for in elite tight end ceilings. And the guy's like 22 years old. So to write him off after one bad season is a joke to me. We've seen his floor, and he's still got tons of volume outside of it. And my last pick for my guy, these are kind of chalk for me, especially the Kyle Pitts, but he's always been my guy. It's Elijah Moore. He was cast away by the team that drafted him in New York. but I still expect a bounce back, man. Like, I believe in the talent. If I think Watson, I bet on him a bit this offseason, Watson, and I get the camp reports are bad, but I just, it would be hard for me to believe that he's going to fall off a cliff this hard. Totally possible. But yeah, I think he could be the one wide receiver one on Cleveland sooner than later, by the end of the season. Amari Cooper has disappointed fantasy owners many, many times already in the past, so it wouldn't shock me at all.
All right, Jake, I like the list.
Tune in this time next year for Elijah Moore being on the truther section.
It's definitely possible.
I just remember we spent hours talking about Elijah Moore's trade value, and holy, like,
it's been a roller coaster.
You should have moved him. You know,
that's what we said, right? I don't know.
No.
Yeah, and Kyle Pitts, Jake, I hope I'm wrong. I love Kyle Pitts, but I don't know. Like heading into the year, I just don't like what we're hearing. It's that one Athletic report, that Athletic beat writer that said that. Like, I think that he's going to be maybe the fourth target for the team, and maybe that just has me, you know.
Name the targets. So that same beat writer, he mentioned that he was including both touches and targets in that list. So he had guys like Tyler Allgeier ahead of Kyle Pitts.
Gotcha.
Touches aren't targets.
I think the biggest concern is just, sorry, my dog Daisy's barking in the background. I think the bigger concern is is he healthy, right? I mean, is he fully recovered? So that's the thing you guys are about. So yeah, he's healthy. Yeah, I think wheels up.
I think you can see a slow start and this becoming like a much better end of the season. When you go down in a week, yeah, it's just later in the year. So anyway.
Sorry, my dog's going crazy here because she's decided to bark at my cat. So and my cat's just like, you know, sitting there taking it because that's how he is. Not going to be intimidated by a dog. Okay. Truthers. So Jake, how do we define truthers?
I look at it as end of roster type players, maybe guys who are in the free agency in shallower leagues or even deeper leagues. Guys I have are Jelani Woods and Darnell Washington for tight ends. Like, they both go super late, but I think their upsides are pretty insane. Jelani Woods starting the year on IR, so that sucks. It might be a 2024 prediction more now with Jelani Woods, unfortunately. But I wouldn't be shocked if I saw him become the number one target for Anthony Richardson just because he's so huge and has such a wingspan that Richardson's terrible accuracy might be made up for by Jelani Woods' talent. And his RAS score is just, I think it's 10 out of 10. It's just an absolute freak. And that matters more for tight ends than any other position in football. And then Darnell Washington, I kind of mentioned, especially in best ball, because if you're just chasing touchdowns for tight ends, which is pretty much what we do when streaming, I think he's like, that's going to be his role, is going to be a red zone target there. So, and lastly, that as truther as you can get, I can't do a show. Like, if we're doing one a year show, I'm going to name this guy every single time because it's my responsibility to do so. And that's Laviska Shenault. I do a best ball tournament in the offseason. We go 25 rounds deep. I didn't pick Laviska Shenault once. So it's not like it's that hot of a take. I'm barely rostering him on many leagues, but I'm going to keep that candle burning. There's a chance that Bryce Young is the truth. He was the first overall pick quarterback drafted. And I think the take here is just that wide receiver room is got to be the easiest to climb in the league. DJ Chark already injured. Jonathan Mingo, I think, was a terrible prospect. I think Adam Thielen is dust. Forgive me if I'm missing any guys. They brought in Amir Smith-Marset, who is a Joe's favorite, who I think is in a similar elk to Laviska Shenault. That
oh, Hawks.
I think they're talented. And it's a terrible wide receiver room. So I think there's going to be an opportunity for them to earn targets.
Yeah, I totally misunderstood this category. So I'm having to like quickly type in names. So Will, do you want to give some of your truthers, your guys that you're holding onto in your rosters?
Yeah, I don't know if it counts as the end of the roster in Dynasty, but I'm still a stand for Darnell Mooney. I actually think with DJ Moore there, and I get that they traded for Chase Claypool, but that might have been one of the worst trades. After all they got for that, the first overall pick, sending the 32nd overall pick because of the forfeited pick by the Dolphins for Chase Claypool was horrible. But just in midseason, just so terrible. Anyway, I think Darnell Mooney he fits so well into an NFL offense and also can be valuable for fantasy. He's better than any other of the long targets they had last year. And Justin Fields is a cannon. So I'm still on the board for acquiring, because Darnell Mooney is just super cheap. And I bought him when he was too expensive, but I'm going to hold out. I think I'm not selling him cheap. I'd rather he can die on my roster. So I think that counts as like a truther.
That's the definition of a truther in my mind.
Yeah. Hunter Renfrow. Hunter Renfrow had a really bad year last year. I still think he's going to carry some value. He was literally uncuttable and almost untradeable based on his dead cap this year. So his dead cap for this season was $18.264 million. You can't really move that one unless you're willing to give up draft capital along with it, with what he's going to do. So I'm looking to acquire Hunter Renfro on any team that, you know, for next year or later in the season, because I think he's gone from the Raiders next year, and I think he's going to be in a much better situation. And he's proved that he's a valuable NFL asset, and I just think Hunter Renfro is good at football, so he'll be on there too. David Bell is even a deeper dive. I still loved him from college, and I know he didn't get on the field. This is why it's the truther. And he might not die on my roster, but he will at least be on my rosters. I still think David Bell has a chance to be okay. That's really, really deep. Also a stand for Noah Fant. You just forget how young Noah Fant is. So at this point in time, Noah Fant hasn't even turned 26 yet. And you look at the way like David Njoku's getting boosted up this year as he's coming into his own as a tight end. It's a very similar type of like coming out super young as a tight end and taking a while for you to get into your prime in the NFL. So I think Noah Fant is still a supreme talent. He comes from an NFL lineage as well. So I just think that like, don't completely forget about him as he gets older and actually comes into like the true age of when tight ends are good at, you know, good in the NFL. And then my last one is also a truther and hot take, CEH. So this will be his last year in Kansas City, almost guaranteed, but I bet he goes to Cincy after this and is back, baby. With the LSU Tigers of Ohio.
I love that prediction.
These are good names. I wish I'd understood the category when I made this list, because at first I put guys that are clearly not like bottom of the roster guys. Then I just typed in some names like, no, those are like kind of names that have just kind of popped up going into the 2023. I was putting like Sean Tucker and Deuce Vaughn. I'm like, no, that doesn't count either. So I'll just throw out one name that I have on more rosters than I realize that I still have some hope for. And Will, you kind of alluded to this with Noah Fant, with some of these tight ends. Yeah, I think, was it Peter Howard that did a study, and basically it turned out like 26 is when tight ends start to peak. So I think that plays well for some of these younger tight ends. And what about Irv Smith Jr.? You know, Irv Smith Jr. was a guy I was really excited about, you know, was with the Vikings, had injury problems, and now he goes to Cincinnati. So I think he is an interesting name that is bottom of a lot of rosters. So I think there are a lot of tight ends that fit that criteria. But I'll just throw out Irv Smith Jr. And I jokingly
kind of makes sense.
On this list, Trey Lance, you know, does he count in this category now?
I think he absolutely does.
I still hold out a little bit of hope, and maybe it's foolish, but I do think that he probably didn't go where he needed to go, and he really wasn't given a chance. Like I almost wish Trey Lance had a Jordan Love situation, and maybe he has that now in Dallas, where he can learn behind a veteran and it's not going to get thrust in the action too quickly. Because let's think about it. Like, he looked okay his rookie season, and then that game one against the Bears and Soldier Field, it was a monsoon. It was crazy. You know, the Soldier Field conditions are historically bad anyway, but it was a crazy day, and he looked like crap. But I mean, it was such an outlier, right? I mean, the Bears beat the 49ers that day. That's how big an outlier it was. And it's year they won three games. And then what, he was injured the next week. He hasn't been given a fair shot. So I still do believe in Trey Lance. I just want him to get the opportunity. I'm not saying he's going to be great or anything, but he could be a middle of the road NFL quarterback. I don't know.
You're preaching to the choir. Y'all know how much I love Trey Lance. And like you kind of alluded to, it's really too bad that he wasn't able to go to a situation like Atlanta or something along those lines, where the starter that they're hoping is going to be good is trash, they could switch over to Trey Lance mid-season and you have a starter nice and early. But I think Trey Lance is probably like the best backup in the league right now, or like at least for fantasy, like the upside that he brings with his rushing ability. He could be terrible. Like, there's a good shot he is based on everything that's happened this offseason. But yeah, if you could get him for a third or a free agent pickup, and he can sit at the end of your roster, and you use him as a QB handcuff, I love it. Like, I'd be looking to do that, because there's not many guys who have the upside that Trey Lance has, and you're paying a floor cost at this point. So
yeah, and guess who has gotten hurt last couple of years or recently? It's Dak, you know. So I mean, there is a window. I'm wishing Dak health all year, by the way, but you know, we'll see. It would be very intriguing if something did happen to Dak. Does he automatically set up the role? Is Cooper Rush, right? Who's the QB2 technically?
I think it's got to be Trey Lance, but yeah, I think I've seen Cooper Rush as the named as the QB2.
Well, he's going to start as the QB2 because they're all offseason.
He knows the playbook, yeah.
But yeah, Trey Lance comes in, the most durable quarterback in the National Football League. Trey Lance.
I would love to see him beat the 49ers in the playoffs. It would just be a dream come true.
Oh, that'd be wild. All right. We got two categories left, fantasy MVP and bold predictions. So let's start with fantasy MVP.
I can go first. I really wanted to put this player as the NFL MVP. There are a few guys that have just the ability to break fantasy. And that's Lamar Jackson, who I'm going with. We've seen it before. I think it was 2019. And he did that with guys like James Prochet and just guys who are out of the league, garbage players. So right now you're telling me you're going to give him Odell Beckham, who could resurge. You're going to get Zay Flowers, who could be like Antonio Brown-esque type of player. And I think Bateman's a lot better than people think. And you have steady Mark Andrews there at tight end. So I think he's got the best cast he's ever gotten. He's got a new coach in Todd Monken, who I think can unlock some things for him and kind of bring a new level to that offense that we haven't seen before. So I'm going to go with Lamar.
I like the pick. I mean, it's a solid pick, and definitely he could, break some records this year. It's going to be fun to see. Will, you mean to go next, or you got your pick?
No, I've just put the most money in this bucket, so this will be my fantasy MVP overall. So I'm just going with Najee Harris, cost versus value. I think he's going to be an extremely good purchase. He might, he's probably not going to finish as the RB1, but I think he has a great chance to be close. And you don't
this you just Josh Jacobs.
The price you have to pay to give him. I think that's very similar.
Yeah, first round pick who's kind of gotten.
And I think Josh Jacobs should be on the bust list too, by the way. I think that's going to be horrible with that offense. And anyway, but yeah, so I'm going to go with Naj. The analysis behind Naj in last year and just the flippant disregard of him having a Liz Frank last year. And then at the end of the year, finally coming back and being healthy, you just saw a different version of him. He was more explosive. He was more productive. And the Steelers offense was still bad. And I think they're going to be, they think that offense is taking the next step forward. I really like what they're doing.
Yeah. I this bold pick. And so I was thinking about this, Will, like kind of, in fact, I'm going to eliminate the name. Cause I put down Nick Chubb because I think he's just going to put up a monster season, but I'm kind of thinking about this. Like you're thinking about it a couple of years ago when Cooper Kupp, I think, was fantasy MVP. Where you drafted him in redraft league, what was like, I think I got him in like the fifth or sixth round of one of my leagues, if memory serves. So I'll go back to Drake London again. I think he's one of those guys that in the redraft league in particular is going, where is he going? Sixth, seventh round in some leagues. I think he's one of those guys that could just, for the cost you spend on him, he could put up some monster numbers and help you win your league. So that's why I'll put his name out there. Cause I guess you could look at this a lot of different ways. I think the way Jake did it, like with like Lamar going early in a Superflex league, he's going to put up monster numbers. I think, London Harris are kind of in that bucket of like those mid round guys that could really make a difference for your team. So that's where I'll put my flag plant for fantasy MVP, I guess.
I like London as an arbitrage Olav / Garrett Wilson pick who are going at like the 2-3 turn. Drake London going a couple of rounds later, higher pedigree of a prospect like he went earlier in rookie drafts and even more constellated targets, right? So I love the pick.
All right, bold predictions. Here we go. Always a favorite. Are we going to assign levels of takes? Meld to Hitler the Reaper? I guess
for old time's sake.
I got to remember the levels.
Carolina Reaper and Milk.
Yeah, I guess that's all we need to remember.
Those are the only two levels.
Ghost Pepper, Carolina Reaper. There's jalapeno, there habanero, Ghost Pepper, Carolina Reaper, if memory serves. So, all right. Well, in the show sheet, Jake is the only one with a bold prediction, but I'll come up with something. I'm sure Will has said already.
I've alluded to a few of my predictions already in the podcast. I wanted to put the question up of who this year's Geno Smith could be. Obviously, that it's not something that happens every year at all, and I'm not even just thinking quarterbacks. But for me, that's Baker Mayfield. You guys have already thrown dirt on his name already in this podcast, and I totally understand why. Just like Geno Smith, he's been written off at this point as being a viable fantasy asset, even though he's starting on the best team that he's ever going to start for, or has started for. I think Chris Godwin and Mike Evans is a Hall of Famer based on his 1,000-yard record going on right now. Chris Godwin's a freak. So, and I think the Bucs are good. So I don't think Baker's going to have to do everything on his own. So I think he could outperform expectations. Like he's going for like a, you get him for like a late second round pick or maybe like some depth fire on your team you can move him for. So if you're in a pinch and need a quarterback for this year, I think you could find worse. So yeah, I like Baker to be this year's Geno Smith. I alluded to, I think Purdy could get benched this year. And Darnold going into the Kyle Shanahan offense could also be very sneaky. He's kind of ascended in his career a little bit since kind of busting as a rookie or his first few years anyways. And then just an absolute flyer, which is kind of just a prediction of the CEH going to Cincy, which I hadn't thought about, but I think is fantastic. If Cousins goes down with an injury early and the Vikes look good and Kyler Murray's healthy, I think Kyler Murray is going to be a Minnesota Viking. Might not be this season. It might be next season, but I love the fit with Kyler going to Minnesota.
It'd be awesome. Wouldn't cost us any more year over year salary.
Might trade some trade assets, but
that would be fun. That would be interesting.
You can tell Arizona's trying to lose. So if Kyler's knocking on the door to get back on the field, you need a legitimate reason not to start the guy. And trading him away is a very good reason. And it's a good reason to keep losing games too, because Dobbs and Clayton Tune are not Kyler Murray. And yeah, Caleb Williams is better than Kyler Murray, and they've kind of already had their distance from Kyler just based on what they kind of think of his work ethic and things like that. So, yeah. And you got the Cousins already almost out the door right at the end of this year. So,
I mean, if they win the division and they do really well, I don't know how you get rid of Cousins. Like, that's the hardest part with him. But yeah. I don't want to dive too much into this because I'm starting to fade, boys.
All right, well, you want to give yours next or you want me to go?
You go.
I got a really, you want to talk about bold predictions. I got a kind of a crazy one, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway, just for fun, if nothing else. I think Dorian Thompson-Robinson is going to have a stretch where he is not going all the way to the like AFC title game, but he is going to be this year's Brock Purdy. He is going to have a little stretch, like 4 or 5 game stretch where something's going to happen to Deshaun Watson. He gets benched, he gets hurt. And Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who's currently the third-string quarterback, is going to come in. Well, maybe he gets hurt then. And it will come in and lead Cleveland to a 4 or 5 game winning streak. There's my bold prediction for you.
I'm gonna jump in there. My Dorian Thompson-Robinson is definitely got to be Aiden O'Connell after that preseason stretch he's had. And I think Jimmy Garoppolo has got a higher chance of being benched and or injured. So I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. You know, the Bears, you follow the Tyler Badgett story here in Chicago. So they cut PJ Walker because this kid, where did he go to school? Was it Shepherd University? It was like a Division II school. He looked great in the preseason. Of course, it was just the preseason, kind of like Dorian Thompson Robinson did, right? So, but you know, I've seen people in my leagues, like Superflex leagues, like pick him up, like Tyler Badge, and I just think it's pretty funny. But you never know, right? That's what we said about Brock Purdy. So there might be somebody this year. All right, well.
Okay, so I'm just going to just be, because I already said CEH is Cincy after this year, so I feel like that counts as one bold prediction. The next one is Sam Howell will turn to the long-term starter in Washington.
Nice.
I think Sam Howell's good. And then my last one, just to keep it real short and simple, week one, Justin Watson goes for 70-plus yards and a tutty.
Justin Watson, a Joe's favorite. I love it.
He's the classic. Kelsey's being taken out of the game. He's putting up stats.
He's my captain.
Guy's also an athletic freak.
Yeah. I love
Dosa. He went to Penn. He's so smart.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's do 2-minute warning. Final thoughts. Boys, what do you want to throw out there? Anything. 2-minute warning. Will, you go first since you're fading.
Trade Miles Sanders in Dynasty as soon as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sooner than later.
Be good people. Be good people.
I wish I had like a solid take or something to go out on, but Hey, just thank you for sticking with us. If we're still in your subscription feed, you're one of the real ones. It's been a pleasure catching up with you guys. It's been too long.
Yeah, and I don't really have anything for the 2 minute warning either because I'm tired. I will say, if your wife is trying to talk you into getting a second dog, think twice about that, because it takes a lot of work.
Get a third dog.
Oh man, thinking about that at a daycare today at pickup, we saw a couple with a, they had a newbornish, let's say, like, around that, like, 10, 11, 12 month, year range, and they also had a brand new puppy with them. That is a bad idea, I promise you. Don't do it.
No.
Puppies are horrible. Like, you love them, and they're super cute, but they go through this teething phase where they slice you up quite a bit, and that paired with a baby, oh, man. Just wait until they're like two or three if you really want to do that and they want them to grow up together.
Well, before we go, I get an important question. Number one, is that an atomic pumpkin?
Yes, it is.
Okay, yeah.
They came out so early this year and it's been so nice.
I saw it in the store the other day. And then number two, why do you have a Kansas Jayhawks cozy on that thing?
Oh, it randomly just came into my possession. I it's funny because my best friend's wife went to Kansas, but it didn't come from them. This just kind of came. I don't know where this came from.
Z just found it one day in the house.
So yeah, but so it was just the koozie out of the cupboard.
All right, and then one more question for you, Will. The hat, Greenwood Golf.
Greenwood.golf, a golf company out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Go check them out. It's the best hitting golf ball you will ever play. It's the smoothest, supplest, but also best gripping golf club you will ever use. And they also make the best hats.
This episode of the Fantasy Joes was brought to you by Greenwood.golf.
Honestly.
So I searched Greenwood on Amazon Prime Day just to see if there's anything on there. Just in this, like, random moment, and I found Greenwood Golf, and yeah, I'm very excited about it. I will only play Greenwood golf balls from here on out.
I love it.
They're not cheap though, and so I'm gonna have to get better at golf or play less.
All right, I'm googling Amazon for a liver good. I can get a mug that says, "Of course I'm right. I'm a liver good." That's about it. I'm a liver good. To save time, let's just assume I'm always right. Okay, this is lame. That's disappointing. Jake, I bet you, if you search Patterson on Amazon, I bet you can find
it. Probably stuff. A lot of books. It's all books.
Oh, yes, of course.
James Patterson. Yeah. James
Patterson. All right.
James.
I guess we'll get out of here then. So we're the Fantasy Joes. You can find us on that platform formerly known as Twitter. I am at Dadgone Stern right now, but maybe I'm going back to every librarian. Will is at Fantasy_Will. Jake is at TakesToJake. On behalf of Will and Jake, I am Ryan, and we are the Fantasy Joes.
Oh, feels good. Man, I want to stay on for after hours, but this is I'm at the end.